All right, welcome back to the Giants pregame show. Our next guest, you can hear him Monday through Friday on the leadoff spot in those early morning hours. Let's welcome in Adam Copeland to the show. How are you doing today, Adam?
I'm good, Bill. I'm nursing a little bit of a hangover this morning, but that's what Saturdays are for, right? That's what you do.
Well, you were at the game yesterday. I saw the excitement in some of your posts, and I think one of the biggest things, I wanted to hear what you had to say. Walking into that Oracle Park, going to your seats, looking all around, and it was live baseball again.
It was funny, man. I was giddy from the time I jumped into a little pedicab down by my house, near the station there, and I rode it up the Embarcadero to the ballpark. I got out a couple blocks early, so you can get that vibe of walking in. One of my favorite things ever is kind of playoff time, October time in the city, and you get off BART maybe, and you walk up the street, and you start to see the Giants fans popping out of bars. And while it wasn't that many people, that was kind of the vibe. And I don't think you could have found somebody who was going to get bummed out yesterday. It was so great they got the win, but even had they lost the game, It was such a positive feeling to be there. That sort of set the tone for me. And then you roll into the opening ceremonies. And, of course, getting guys lining up on the base paths is always fun. But then they bring Brian Stowe out. And you know, for what this guy represents and what he's done and what he brings to this organization and how we can sort of – try to end this bullying that's going on that he's trying to help with, but also the reflection of him as a San Francisco Giant fan, and to see where he's come after the opening day thing that happened with him, and throws out the first pitch. It was a special day at the ballpark, man. It's you know, I think it's one of those days that if anybody was there, they're not going to forget it, because we've been gone for a year. And so to get back out there, even in a limited capacity of fans, it felt fairly normal considering how few people were there.
Well, you posted a picture. You went to the game with your mom, and I saw some nostalgia on it. Your mom had a shirt on. You got to like these kids. That was back in my day, 1986, when Will Clark and Robbie Thompson. And, of course, you, 2010, Fear the Beard, Brian Wilson look. So I was like, you two are all ready for that game.
Yeah, man, that's my mama says she's still rocking shirts. Props to her that she can still wear a shirt that fit her in 1986, and she's wearing it to ball games today. But that's one of her all-time favorite shirts. She wears that a lot. And what's funny is we were joking at the game yesterday, because you remember there was an article, I think, before the season came out about how, well, the Giants are kind of, you know, retooling here and getting ready for the next run with the next crop of players. This is one of the oldest teams they've had in a long time. And so we were joking that maybe we should cross out the kids and give you got to like these fogies t-shirt or something like that. You got to like these old blue hairs, Bill.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the game today. I want to throw some numbers to you right now. LaStella, Yastrzemski, Dickerson, and Belt, 8 for 57 total going into this game today. Your thoughts on these four guys and what has to happen to light these bats up?
Well, Alex Dickerson's the one where I'm least concerned about him, because we actually saw him start this way last year. Remember how flat he was and how cold he was, and we thought, oh boy, they must have caught lightning in a bottle a year ago, and that may have been it. Then he became one of the hottest hitters on the planet, had a 3-home-run game, drove in all those runs. He scored 20 down in Colorado. He's a guy who I think is a streaky guy, and we've seen that from Brandon Belt, too. For me, with Brandon Belt, it's more about getting him some reps and some at-bats. I mean, he didn't jump into spring training games, I don't think, until the final week of camp. And so, you know, the fact that he's going to be a Gold Glove caliber first baseman, I know he's made a couple of errors already, but I really do think his timing is off at the plate. And I think he's got to be in there, and it's tough now with the inconsistencies of a lineup where you don't necessarily have guys that are playing every single day. So it's a little bit harder to catch some rhythm. But I think it's a little bit of a concern in general that the Giants as a team, I think, entering today are hitting under 200 as a team total. Like, they're just not – they're not stringing together any hits. And so, while they've proven they can hit for power, and I know yesterday they didn't hit one out, but we've seen a whole bunch of solo home runs so far this year, they're going to have to get to a point where, you know, they talk so much about signing guys like LaStella and having Brandon Belt in the lineup and Mike Yastrzemski. These are guys who put pressure on opposing pitchers. I'm still sort of waiting for that pressure to be applied to these pitchers, because I think when they can do that and they can get guys on base, they have the power to pop it out, but we're not seeing much situational hitting. We're not seeing a whole lot of gap hitting, and yesterday maybe the exception, a couple of big doubles helped the Giants get the win.
Yeah, listening to Chichi Gonzalez and all the reports throwing a lot of fastballs, we're finally going to see this LaStella Yastrzemski 1-2 count. We saw it so much in spring training. Gabe Kapler was so in tune of these two guys are going to lead us our way. And I'm agreeing with it, but we just haven't seen LaStella like we've seen him when he played with the A's and the Angels. I'm looking for a big game out of LaStella. What do you think that he's got to do today to get back on track?
I want to see him work some counts. I would hate to see him strike out. You know what I mean? I want to, this is a guy who his key output here is that he gets on base. And like I just mentioned, these guys are supposed to put pressure on opposing hitters, put together a professional at bat. You got to keep in mind too, Tommy Lasella was signed to a 3-year contract. This is one of the longest contracts that Farhan has given out since he's taken over this team. You know, he signed Wilmer Flores to the couple of years ago, and he's going to be here, you would think, beyond this year on an option for next season. But Tommy Lestella is going to be here. I think they've got plans for him, be it at first base, second base, third base. He's going to be in the lineup, and they're looking for him to help apply pressure at the top of the lineup, try to see some extra pitches, get this starting pitcher out of the game as soon as you can, and hope that you can get some of these big boppers up with guys on base.
And you were talking a little bit about the older guys, and when you're looking at this lineup today, Longoria hitting in the 1-2-3-4-5 spot, and then Posey in the 7 spot. Both of them, Longoria with 3 home runs, Posey with 2 home runs. Power in the lineup, down in the order. This is something that the Giants haven't had in the past. I'd like to see what you think about putting these guys a little higher, or do you keep them lower in the lineup?
You know what's funny is when they started the season with Buster in the 7 hole, did you say where Buster's hitting today? Is he,
yeah,
seven. Is he in there today?
Yeah, 5 Longoria, 7 for Posey.
Okay, yeah, I like Buster down there at the 7 hole. I know they moved him up a little yesterday, and it was useful. He got on base a couple of times and had to break up the no-hitter at one point. But I think Buster Posey at the plate right now looks incredibly healthy, right? And the way that he's driving the ball, if you figure he pulled a home run on opening day, and then the next night he hits one out the other way. It was a sort of a vintage Buster Posey inside-out gap-to-gap swing that left the ballpark up in Seattle. But to me, the fact that he's turning his hips on a pitch that's down and in, able to pull one out, and then also able to stay closed with the hips and push one out the other way, that says he's feeling better than I think we were anticipating he'd be feeling this early in the season. This guy's still capable of hitting 300. I wouldn't be shocked at all if Buster did that this year. For Longoria, I think it's going to be all about staying healthy with that foot. The plantar fasciitis, the way that stuff flares up, could put him on the shelf for a couple of days at a time, maybe a week at a time. But as long as he's healthy and he can still get the drive with those feet, he can plant and get those hands through the zone, he's looked really good going back to camp. So this is a guy who, obviously, these are two longtime professional hitters. Both guys are going to be in Hall of Fame conversations. Longoria, for me, is a guy who I think could potentially, if he's in there every day, could end up like leading this team in home runs. It's just a matter of whether or not he can stay healthy. But after, I guess he got the Johnson & Johnson shot that I got. It knocked him on his A yesterday, and I guess he had to miss the game. So I'm glad he's back in there today.
Yeah, it seemed like it knocked you on your A, too, because you were out there after the next day, too, after your Johnson & Johnson. So maybe I'll call you Longoria the second. But, yesterday at Oracle Park, you were there live, and, of course, the Giants have kept the knot holes closed, and with that, they were hoping maybe the wind blows a little harder. Did you see any difference? I mean, the ball has changed. They're saying it's not as tightly spun, and the things aren't going to be, more home runs. Was there any difference? Did you notice?
Yesterday, not so much. And I mean, I've been watching a lot over the first week, not just Giants baseball, but a lot of around the league. And I've been trying to pay attention to that, too, because, they said, we changed the ball just a little bit. And they said it won't make a major difference. It might knock a foot or two off of a fly ball, which is funny because I always think, how many times do we see a guy fly out to the warning track in a game? All the time, right? If Darren Ruff's ball in San Diego gets shortened by another 2 feet, that's in Jorge Mateo's glove, and the Giants maybe don't win that game on Wednesday. So as far as the ball being more dense or not traveling as far, I brought this up with Kerry actually on our podcast earlier this week, and that was that last week I saw Fernando Tatis Jr. hit a ball 465. The next day, Giancarlo Stanton hit one 417, and then this kid for the Chicago White Sox, Yermin Mercedes, you see this? He hit one 485. So I don't know that the ball's much. The ball's much different at all.
But check the bat.
The cork. Well, remember Sosa did that too. Had the cork bat. And they said, it's not a big deal. It's only a couple of feet. I'm like, that's kind of a big deal. So no big difference for me. The wind was blowing out pretty hard to left field yesterday, and so I was surprised they couldn't get one into the air and pop one out, but. If they keep that fence closed, I think we're going to see a lot of balls flying out of Oracle like we did last year.
Yeah, final thoughts, Adam, as we continue on the pregame show. Logan Webb on the hill today really threw the ball extremely well in spring training. I thought he threw okay in Seattle, gave up a couple back-to-back-to-back doubles all on changeups when he was ahead of counts. And I think with Buster behind the plate, a little more creative on different styles of pitches at different counts. And I don't want to see him just continue to keep throwing changeups when he gets ahead of hitters. He has to throw that fastball. I'd like to hear what you saw in Seattle. You know what he did in spring training. What does he have to do today?
Well, I think everything you said is correct. I mean, you know, pitching pretty well, Bill, and it's about throwing that changeup off the fastball. And I think maybe the Giants fans should feel more comfortable with Buster back there, because it was Kirk Casale who caught him, I think, the first time around in Seattle. So if he's got Buster back there, Buster knows these hitters. Buster's been in the National League West for a long time, right, as far as the Colorado Rockies are concerned. But it's about, you know, upsetting the timing, right? So maybe it's mixing in fastballs in some spots where guys are sitting changeup. Maybe it's throwing a couple of past the guy and changing the eye level and changing the plane. But the other thing that's always sort of funny to me, Bill, and I think I talked to you about this last week, sort of offline, we were joking about it, that when guys have big camps like that and they focus on one pitch, all we talked about for a whole month and a half was, boy, he's going to throw that changeup a bunch this year. He's going to throw it a bunch. Yeah. And then he gets in there, and I'm like, yeah, the Mariners know that too, right?
I mean, that's right.
They're sitting on that changeup and when they're behind in the count. So to that point, this is where the mind game comes in. This is where the manipulation comes in. From the catcher, can you locate, can you decide whether or not you're going to throw a different pitch in that situation? And I think he's going to be effective with this changeup as long as he can locate, but it's going to be about whether or not he can stay ahead with the fastball first. And I think we may see some guys late on some fastballs today, just because I think Buster is going to try to squeeze in some fastballs in some spots where maybe guys are looking changeup instead.
Yeah, totally agree with you, Adam. Thanks again, Adam. Drink a lot of liquid today, my friend. It cures everything. But thanks again for joining me on the pregame show, and we'll chat during the week as well as next weekend. Adam Copeland on the pregame show, and we'll be right back going to the booth with John Miller.